Well, ladies, I am excited to start this series with you. This is a book, The Search for Significance, that was a really important book for me years ago, and it's continued to be an important book that I've shared with many people. We've had the original series based on this book on Pursue God for a while, but it's just time for a refresh on it. And I hope that you find as much value in this book as I have. And honestly, the treasures in this book, the principles behind it that are biblically based and really are rooted in scripture, are something that we have to revisit all the time, ladies, because it doesn't matter if we maybe go through seasons where we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Maybe we have a lot of triumphs and wins and things are going really well, but we all hit those times in our lives where we lose confidence, where we wonder if what we're doing is the right thing, or we get some feedback from people that makes us wonder if we're good enough. So this is an ongoing journey that we all are going through all the time. But I just hope that this book, this series, will be as impactful for you as it's been for me. Because the truth is, we all battle the need for significance. We all want to be accepted. We want to have value. The problem is, we've been looking for it in the wrong places. And man, is that more true now than ever with just the rise of social media. I've watched it with my kids and tried to understand it, but even for me, you know, you start scrolling through things and you look at people and their life and their travels and their beautiful pictures and you're thinking, man, my life just doesn't look like that. I don't have maybe those kinds of relationships with people, or I don't have that kind of money to travel and do those kinds of things. So social media has just really put the pressure on. And I think we've all gotten lost in it in different ways at whatever level we want to admit to. And it has become a comparison thing. And that's just dangerous, because what we're going to learn through this series is that our significance does not come from how we look, who we know, where we go, how much money we make. Our true significance comes from who God says we are. Now, in theory and in principle, I think a lot of us, that just rolls right off the tongue. But the practical experience of finding our value and worth through what God says about us and what God has planned for us is a much more challenging thing. Now, if you don't believe me that the search for significance is a battle and that we're losing it in terms of what our culture is trying to sell us, let me just share just a couple stats with you real quick. 43% of adults are more anxious and depressed than a year ago. Almost half of adults are feeling more anxious and depressed this year than a year ago. Why would that be? Because of the pressures, because of, you know, when our economy maybe isn't doing as well, when there's health issues or things that come around, it's like, if all we're looking for is what this life has to offer us, then of course we're going to be depressed, because life can be very depressing. 1 in 7 moms experience postpartum depression. I mean, this wonderful season of a gift of life, yet for many of us, depression kind of robs us of that joy, at least for a season. Young adults ages 18 to 25 have the highest prevalence of major depressive episodes in the United States. So that's, again, the population of people that are probably the most controlled by social media, or the most absorbed into it. And look what it's doing. Major depression. 29% of adults experience some depressive diagnosis at some point in their lives. Almost 30% of us have some kind of depression diagnosis in our life. Ladies, if that doesn't tell us that there is a real struggle going on, what our culture tries to sell us, that our value and worth needs to come from our likes, it needs to come from the money that we make and the people that we know, or are we able to look at this and say, I'm not going to buy into that lie. I'm going to break free of that. And I'm going to say, I want something that's lasting and true. And ultimately, that's got to come from the God of the universe, who knows all things, is there from the beginning, will be there at the end. He has something to say about who we are. And ladies, that's going to be the journey through the series. We're going to find our way through combating the lies that our culture wants to sell us about where our value and worth comes from. And we're going to replace it with the truth of God's word and principles from his word. And ladies, what's going to require from us is to be honest in the process, and to really let God's word speak, and to not come to this information with a filter that's just too strong with what the world's selling you, that you can't even hear the treasures that God has for us. And let me just say, I mean, this struggle comes all the way to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. I think it's so insightful to kind of start where the lie began, and why it's so ingrained in all of us is from Adam and Eve and what happened in the garden. In fact, I just want to read it just so we can all be reminded of it. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Oh, there's just so much in here, you guys, that we need to unpack here. Just, oh, it angers me so much just how the enemy works, how the serpent in this story, how he twists and confuses Eve, that the one thing God said is, I mean, if we put it in its context, God created this big, beautiful garden full of trees and flowers and fruit and just an abundance of beauty, and they had free reign of all of it. The one thing God said is just don't eat the fruit in the middle of the garden. And it was for their protection, so they wouldn't know the difference between good and evil, because he knew they couldn't handle that. And what was Eve's response to that? It was, "God's withholding from me. That fruit looks yummy. I want that." So she takes it. She buys the lie that the enemy is saying, no, what God has for you is lame. It's not good. He's withholding. He doesn't want you to have good stuff. Trust me, take this lie that your value and worth comes from how you look and what you do, your pedigree, so to speak. And she fell for the lie. And from that moment, it broke that relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. Now, as the story goes on, thank the Lord, Jesus comes to right that wrong and to give us the ability to come back into right relationship with God. We'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. But it's important for us to recognize where this lie started, where the enemy wanted to trick Adam and Eve into thinking that what God says, his truth, isn't good enough for you. Let me tell you, let me give you these nuggets that are not nuggets at all. They're lies and full of deception. Here's what McGee says in the book about this passage. Satan directly questioned God's truthfulness, implying that Eve could have greater significance apart from God, and that eating the forbidden fruit would reveal hidden knowledge, enabling her to know good from evil like God himself. Being deceived, Eve traded God's truth for the serpent's lie. She ate that forbidden fruit, and then Adam followed her in her sinful rebellion against God, and he too ate the forbidden fruit. One of the tragic implications of this event is that man lost his secure status with God and began to struggle with feelings of arrogance, inadequacy, and despair, valuing the opinions of others more than the truth of God. Oh man, that's it right there, that we lost that Adam and Eve would see that secure status of all the beauty that God had given them, that they decided, no, I want to be on the throne of my own life. I'm going to tell you, God, I want to have all the information, and then I'll make decisions the way I want them. Isn't that the truth, ladies? Isn't that what we do when we say, no, I'm going to determine who I am and what I do, and I don't care what God's opinion is. I don't care what God's word has to say. It's like, it's just that arrogant attitude of us putting ourselves on the throne of our lives. And what God's saying is, no, so I should be on the throne of your life. And trust me, I've written a whole beautiful story for you. I created you. I have great plans for you. I've equipped you with exactly what you need. Don't buy the lie. Don't believe in inadequacy. Don't believe that you know better than God knows. And ladies, if we can get to that place where we trust in the Lord, where we don't buy the lies that the enemy is going to try to sell us, we can have true peace and significance because we're resting in what God has to say, who knows the truth, who is the truth, rather than falling for the things that the enemy is going to try to package for us as truth, but it's just full of lies. Here's what John 10:10 says. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill and destroy. Now, we'll come back to this verse later, but the purpose that Jesus came for is to give us a rich and satisfying life. Now, for some of you who are struggling with self-worth and identity or whatever, man, you're like, okay, I'd love to have a rich and satisfying life. That's not what I feel right now. That's not where I am in my journey. Then what I say to you ladies is, and this is true for all of us, that we need to just come sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to just come to God and his word and to say, I'm going to let you tell me who I am. I'm going to let you define who I am. I'm going to rest in your purpose and in your truth. And I'm going to fight against the lies of the enemy that want to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to hold us in this place of feeling like we don't have value. He wants to hold us in the place of feeling like we've made too many mistakes. There's no hope for us. And Jesus wants to bust free and say, no, I'm going to rewrite your story. You're going to be a new creation in me. Again, we'll come to that in the coming weeks. But here's how McGee talks about this struggle for finding the search for significance is based on this equation that's a lie. And here it is, that your self-worth equals performance plus other people's opinions. That's how he sets up the equation of how people get off on why their self-worth gets totally destroyed. It's because they base it on their performance and they base it on how other people think about them. And so that's what we're going to look at over the coming weeks. We're going to just pull this apart. We're going to just identify the lies that we tend to believe. There's a few main lies that he identifies and we're going to replace it with God's truth. And I pray for you guys that it'll be powerful, that it'll be a rewriting of your story of realizing the lies that you've fallen for, the ways that the enemy has deceived you, and come walking into this fullness of this life that Jesus offers us. Here's what McGee says. He says that the journey starts that we turn on the light in our lives, that we reveal our hearts, that we leave nothing hidden, that we just put it all before the Lord. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Ladies, this is our challenge, to put ourselves before the Lord. Wherever we're at in our search for significance, wherever we are in our feeling of our worth not being there, of being low on self-confidence, whatever it is, that we just come before the Lord and say, God, I want you to show me all those thoughts, all those lies that I've believed, all those things that have robbed me from being just at peace with you and walking in harmony with you. I'm just going to let you show me all that. We're turning on the light. We're going to just expose all the lies that you've believed, all the words that maybe people have said in your life, the things that have made you feel like you're less than. We're turning on the light, ladies. We're going to identify it and then we're going to throw it out. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:14 says. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Ladies, we're going to move into a season and a new way of living life where Christ's love controls us, not our fears, not our insecurities, not the opinions of other people, not our performance. We're going to let the love of Jesus and all he's done for us be what defines us. So, what does this mean for you practically? Because like I said at the very beginning, very easy to say these things, right? Just to say them, but it's another thing to live them. So if we're turning on this light and starting this journey of identifying these lies and replacing it with God's truth, here's what you need to do. And this is my prayer for all of us, that we'll just start from a place of honesty. Be honest before the Lord of the things that maybe you've tried to hide, the things that you feel like you're not worthy of even God's love, the areas of your life that you feel broken or mistakes that you've made that you feel like have defined you. Be honest, name them, write them down in your journal. Reflect on all the ways you've tried to perform your way to either God's love or somebody else's. Be honest about that. Who are the people you perform for? In what areas of your life do you feel like how I perform in this area means I'm good or bad, or I'm worth something or I'm not worth something? Where am I a people pleaser? Why? Why do I need the approval of those people? Be honest with yourself. Turn the light on in that. Acknowledge the checklist that you use to measure if you're doing well or not doing well. And then here's what we're going to do over the coming weeks. And I just challenge you to invite God's word to become a mirror for you, that you come and you say, okay, what does God's word say? Not what the world's opinion, not the things I've heard over time. What does God's word say? That's what I'm going to replace. That's what I need to start doing, is not going to the old way of thinking, going to the new way of thinking. And then also it's going to be important for you to see the wounds that others have imposed upon you, that you can have a lens of grace even for that. Because again, I think as we're going to learn, ladies, that people who have hurt us, people who have used words to make us feel less than or not worthy, they're broken people too. They've got their own journey and their search for significance. And part of their brokenness and toxicity is they feel better about themselves putting you down. So the more we can look at other people who maybe have hurt us, have disappointed us, whose approval we wanted and we didn't get, well, maybe we need to recognize they've got their own issues. We all have our own issues. We all have our reasons why we feel good or bad about ourselves. So ladies, I'm excited to explore this with you. I'm excited for you to go on this journey of significance and finding it in the truth of God's word and through a relationship with Jesus that wipes us clean, and with the Holy Spirit in us, that we can choose to walk in a new life, in a new way, and see ourselves the way God created us, like a beautiful creation, unique, with unique giftings. And he has a full story he's written for us. And I want you to be able to walk in that. And I want you to be free, free of the lies, free of the deception. So ladies, let's make the commitment today. We're turning on the light. We're going on our search. I can't wait to explore more with you next week.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.